This a one it a the herbal affair. Come here, me darling, easy me dear. Even if you're sitting in your old rocking chair, style you want to listen me say lyrics you have a year. This is one thing I say you must understand.
Welcome to the Herbal Intellect Show. It is Saturday, March 12, 2016. I'm your host, Jennifer Hutchison. Welcome, everyone. Thank you all for joining us this evening on the Herbal Intellect Show, only on Nubia Hood Radio. If you are new to our show and to our episode, today we're going to be talking about yoga. I'm very excited. We're going to be having a special brother coming on in a little bit and talking to you all about yoga. And it's special because we're going to talk not just about yoga, because it's so much out there already that we know about yoga, or we think we know about yoga, but we're going to go a little deeper, and that's what we always do here at Nubia Hood Radio and in the Herbal Intellect Show. We always try to go a little bit deeper, try not to just give you, a little bit of information that will take you the same place where anything else will take you. We try to go a little bit deeper, and we want your feedback too, so we'll know exactly how we can better serve you on the show, because we have the knowledge and we're sharing it with you, and this is free information that we are we're giving everybody. So a little bit about the show, if you're new, that's what we do here. We talk about health and wellness topics. I'm an herbalist, a certified clinical master herbalist. I'm also a physiologist, a biologist, and a lot of different things, a teacher, a doula, and all these different things. But my business is Synepti Botanicals, and so what I do is I help women to bring their bodies back into balance, and I use herbal remedies, a plant-based diet and nutrition, as well as mindset tools such as meditation. I do all of that so that people can have generational wellness, so they can teach their children how to do it. So it's a lifestyle change, not just something that you do just for fun. But it's a health lifestyle change, and that's what we have to do. Unfortunately, we're in the situation where we live in this country where we have so many different things bombarding us and taking us away from our natural lives and our natural selves, that we have to practice this. We have to learn how to go back to our roots. We have to learn how to go back to what's real and what's not, not fake. And unfortunately, there is always a conflict with that. And so within ourselves, we can break through and be able to do that. And I help people to do that because I work on it and do it myself. And I've seen a lot of progress within myself. I was just talking to Marcus a few days ago, I think, about how I grew up in South Carolina. And we were talking about how basically for me, I moved across the country in 2010. I moved across the country to Arizona, lived there for about 3 years, went to grad school there, working my PhD there in physiology, and then moved to California for 2 years. And that's where kind of followed Marcus there. But anyway, and we decided to move back to the East Coast just last year. And I'm saying this because what we have seen here on the East Coast with our people, because we are focused on this station and our work here is focused on the people of African descent. People of African descent, because we have to, we are the people who we need to be focused on. I'm just going to leave it at that. So we are focusing on that, and as we see and as we connect with our brothers and sisters here, we see so much strife and so much hardship when it comes to health. And I'll just continue to talk about health, but other things as well. And so, and I was just saying that I see that now, and I resonate with that now, because I have grown so much from where I was before, living here, growing up here, and now where I am now, spiritually, mentally, physically, everything. And we can all transform ourselves. We can definitely transform ourselves, and I just see it so clearly now coming back into this environment as a different person, basically. And so that transformation has become part of what I have done, and it's part of what I also teach other people to do. And some people say, well, you have never been overweight. You have never suffered from a chronic disease. You know, this, this, and that. But I have transformed from one person to a different person who I think is better and vibrating much higher. And so that's what I can teach and help people to do. And that's also what this show is all about. And that's the energy that we are presenting here from my voice. It's coming from my soul and my spirit, but also the spirit of Marcus and his vision with Nubiahood Radio. And so, you know, I love to do these shows because people listen and always were like, you know, we are, I love your show. I want to hear the replay. Do you have the replay? We're working on that. We need help here at Nubiahood Radio. It's just Marcus. It's just Marcus doing everything. Right now, he's gone to my left and to my right about 15 times while I'm talking in this last 3 minutes. And so it's him doing everything. We definitely do need help here at Nubiahood Radio. Like I said, our energy is on fire. We are wanting to continue to bring you great shows. We are connecting with other people in the community. Just with my show, you know, these last few weeks or last 2 months have been filled with people from our community all over the country coming to Nubiahood Radio and presenting. And we want to grow that even more. We want you to come on and do your own show. We were looking for people to do a morning show. We're looking for people to do another health show. We're looking for a lot of different things. We've had so many different ideas, and we definitely want to hear from all of you. So don't be shy. We are real people. We're not behind a computer. You know, we are real people that you can talk to and call and email and connect with us on this great platform that Marcus has built. And so I want to share that with you all as well as the Nubiahood updates, as I do every Saturday with Herbal Intellect Show. And the last little update that I want to say is that when it comes, we've been doing this show for about 2 years now, a little over 2 years, and this show has gone through different energy states. That's what I'm going to call them. Instead of, I've been calling them seasons, but basically they're energy states because they're not, we haven't been on for a traditional season, which is, you know, I guess what, 9 months or something like that. I don't know how they do seasons with shows and stuff like that. But basically we have gone through different energy states, and right now our energy state is connecting with people in the community and being more community-centered healers. And so we've had Dr. Turtle come on. We've had Miss Martina come on from Boogie Down Botanicals. We've just got finished talking with Brother Vincent about growing your own garden. And we have just a wonderful layout or lineup of people that are coming on. Tonight we're going to talk with Brother James about yoga. And then next week I'm going to do my Ask an Herbalist show. So Ask an Herbalist, you can come on and talk or ask any question that you may have about your own personal health concerns, other people in your family. I get questions all the time. Almost every single day I get questions from people emailing me or texting me or on Facebook and all that. Come on. This is the time and the place. You don't be shy. Ask your questions, because they may also be something that someone else is asking about too. So this is a perfect time. It's called Ask an Herbalist. Come on to the Nubiahood Radio at 7 p.m. same time and get your questions answered. And it's going to be coming from my own personal experiences and knowledge about herbs especially and health and wellness. Next week, we're going to have, or that's my show next week. And then after that, we're going to have Miss Monisha coming on talking about colon therapy, which is my specialty as well. And so I'm really excited about talking with her and bringing that information to y'all. So don't miss that show as well. All right. So let's go ahead and see if we've got James on. And it looks like he says he's on. Awesome. Let me read you the bio from Brother James, and I'm going to talk a little bit after I read his bio too. James he is Dat Yoga Dude Woods, is a SoCal native who serves in the community as a wellness coach. He's a certified yoga instructor, a marriage and family therapist who provides training in yoga and counseling techniques to help people develop a practice of wellness. His company, Feel Free to Feel Free, provides wellness training to schools, businesses, and organizations in an effort to have a positive impact on communities. His hobbies are fitness, learning, and meeting new people. And speaking of meeting new people, so James, we met James at our first yoga, at one of his yoga in the park events. So I think every Saturday he had a yoga in the park in Corona, California. And we went and we're like, I don't even know how we found out about the yoga in the park. I guess we went to Facebook. I don't remember even how we did that. But my mother was in town. We were, you know, kind of new to California. So we're going to go. And we met James and we just like instantly connected with James. And from that point on, we went out, we, you know, went to dinner. We always, you know, talk with each other. James and I did a workshop together in California. And so it was great. We had a really great relationship. I do miss my brother James out there in California. And hopefully he can come out to visit us out here and maybe we'll go back to California and visit him too. But I'm so awesome and awesome. And I'm so excited to have you on. James, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, can hear you. Peace, brother. How are you?
Peace. I'm well. How are you doing?
Great. Wonderful. So tell us.
Good to hear you.
Yeah, good to hear you, too. I know we haven't really talked more, you know, outside of just Facebook going back and forth and some emails. It was great to hear your voice, and we do miss you out way out there on the other side of the world, it feels like.
Yeah. Way over here in California, yeah.
Right, but it's...
Glad guys got out of California and joined the rest of this country and enjoying y'all time on the mission. I'm glad y'all continuing y'all mission and going forward.
Exactly, yep. And the mission is still underway. So, yes, we're definitely doing that. Well, like I said, I'm happy to have you on, and we're going to be talking about your thing, your specialty, which is yoga. And can you just start out by, you know, setting the stage for the show and the tone for the show and tell us what you do exactly and how you got started in yoga practice?
Okay, cool. So I am a wellness trainer, and that basically means that I use yoga and life experience and my formal education, my informal education, all to bring people a practice of wellness that they can use in their own lifestyle. And for me, yoga is a mental, a physical, and even a spiritual aspect of wellness practice. So I basically got into yoga after beginning work, after going to work, getting a job. And one of my supervisors actually introduced me to yoga.
Okay.
So I was big into fitness, working out, trying to get buff and stay strong and all that. And, I was experiencing burnout. I was experiencing mental burnout, physical burnout. And so my job was working in social services, working in group homes, foster homes, and as a community therapist, mental health aspect. And that could be a very stressing job. A lot of trauma, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety is constantly around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absorbing a lot of that. So I needed a place to really... I needed an outlet. I needed a place to release all of that. And luckily, yoga was able to be there for me. Found yoga, and it gave me access to parts of myself that I was able to use to get through my burnout and really find a focus for myself. So it was really good for me to get into yoga, and I'm glad that I'm still into yoga.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yes, definitely. I can see that actually being a really big part of your healing process, or just being able to protect yourself from a lot of the negative energy, even though you're, because a lot of times when we talk about healers and talk about people who help other people, whether it be, you know, as, you know, a social worker or, you know, some type you make a connection with people to help them, a lot of times you get drained. You get drained of your energy and of your protection. And so, yeah, definitely something needs to be there to, you know, a lot of people go into meditation because those types of things do bring back so much of your energy. So I can definitely see how that works really well or has worked really well for you. one thing I'll really quickly, it's kind of off topic, but one thing about Reiki, for example, Reiki is something where you have, it's a healing process, but you never really get drained of your energy when you do Reiki. So I think that's really interesting. But anyway, that's kind of off topic. But good. Wonderful. So tell us a little bit. Go ahead. You want to say something?
It's very much on topic. I know Reiki is another physical aspect of healing and energetic healing. And for me, that's what yoga is. I'll be having a Reiki session coming up next week with a Reiki friend. And it's all intertwined. As healers, you have to have your own way to heal yourself. And especially with us being in a community that don't have very many outlets to heal, more so outlets to just distract themselves with poor food, a lot of entertainment, a lot of poison going on. So to have those elements of Reiki, yoga, and more than just the Western practices of go see a therapist, go see a doctor, having these real practices to heal people and heal healers is very important. So, yes, please mention Reiki. Mention all other, and mention how important food is for the healing process. So, yes, very much on topic. I thank you for bringing that up.
And, you know, it's funny, too, and this is another guy that's bringing this out of me here, but, you know, basically what you said is so powerful, because you said instead of going outside and getting a session done, or, you know, getting, you know, some type of psychological assessment or a going to a doctor, you're going within. You can heal yourself with Reiki.
Right.
You can do I did my Reiki attunement. I just had my Reiki attunement a few weeks ago. And so now I can practice Reiki. And, you know, after you do your attunement, basically you need to do Reiki on yourself for a good long time as well. And so that whole aspect of being able to heal yourself is really in a lot of these things we're talking about, these healing practices we're talking about. When it comes to meditation, you're going within. You're doing yoga, you're doing it on yourself versus helping someone else. You know, that's a key aspect of what really we should be all, you know, the ability to be able to heal yourself. It comes out in all of those.
And like I said, going back to our community as Black people, where a lot of times they offer mental health and healing. And a lot of times going to, and I'm a therapist, I believe in mental health and therapy, but it's you going to someone else who may not look like you, who may not understand your experience, and then they're going to go through some theories they learned in school or some practices they learned from maybe even Western medicine, and try to heal what's hurt inside of you. But with these holistic practices like yoga and Reiki, like you said, you can heal yourself. You can put in the work to heal yourself, along with the other practices that are out there. I believe in holistic medicine, where we work on the mind, the body, and spirit. But even yoga is free. You can learn yoga, the poses, the asanas, you learn pranayama, the breath, and you can always have it there. You don't have to wait for that 1 hour session to talk about what's going on. You don't have to rely on the therapist to tell you how to think and how to feel, or whatever the case is. You have your own healing process right there. And I feel like that's such an impact for our community. And it's such a valuable tool that we have.
Yes, definitely. Can you touch on, and we're going to get into some more questions in very specifically about yoga, especially for our people, because the topic of the show is being Black and doing yoga, because there's some people, the way that society has created, you know, the way that the American and the white society, white supremacy society has developed yoga in this country as a elite white, you know.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I don't know if I'm in a bad area right now. Can you repeat that question?
Oh, I was just saying that the way that society... Can you hear me okay?
Oh, man, I'm getting nothing but static.
Okay. Maybe 1 second. Is it
hello?
The phone? It's his phone. Okay, and maybe it's your phone, because I think we are... we're good with...
I'm breaking. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You can't hear?
Nothing at all now. I can't hear.
maybe if you can call back, you think?
Okay.
Or would that work? Okay.
All right. Okay.
Is it clearing up or no? Okay, it's getting better. Okay, great. Okay. Yeah. I was just saying, let me know again. You can interrupt if you can't hear. I was just saying that the way that society has changed yoga, basically, or has developed yoga in this country as a white supremacy ruled country for yoga as a fitness, they basically have created it as a white elite and mostly women, white woman elite type exercise. Even though they, you know, are trying to make it a spiritual practice, but it's really hard for them because they don't have that same connection to, you know, to their higher selves as we do. And so we're going to get to that in a minute. But I want to talk a little bit about mental health in Black people. Mental health, because really, it's just, oh, gosh. And this has been interesting. The last few weeks. If you were to come here last few weeks, and I can talk to James like this, but because if you were here last 2 weeks, it would have been like, so I wish you were here because you're a therapist and you would be able to probably like pinpoint so many things have happened in the last few weeks that speak to the mental health of Black people in this country personally and, you know, socially and stuff like that, that I've seen. And things don't happen, you know, coincidentally. I don't believe anything coincident anymore because it's just energy and spirit always working. So Marcus and I had watched this. I don't know if anybody else has heard of, her name is Dugui. I think it's Dugui is how you pronounce her last name. And I think, maybe Marcus will pull it up later. But anyway, she has she speaks about post-traumatic slave disorder. Okay, post-traumatic slave disorder. And she has a really powerful lecture or a few powerful lectures on YouTube now, if you just look that up, that talk about why Black people are the way they are. And saying that sounds like, you know, just going to spark an uproar in the Black community just by saying that. But that she really goes deep and exactly why, because of slavery, because of you know, the continuation of slavery, because of, you know, the everything that's happening, you know, in the prison system. And she talks about, you know, the whole fact that for 400 or 500 years of generation after generation, right, white men were able to rape Black women and get away with it and not even have any type, like they can go to church and knowing that they just raped a Black woman, right, and everybody in the community knew about it and they would be able to go to church, right, the next day. And nobody would say anything, or, you know, it was just the norm for 400 years, not just 2 weeks, something happened. 400, 500 years of this happening over and over and over and over again, and teaching, right, your child. And I can go on and on. I won't take all your time, but I want you to talk too. But talk to us a little bit about mental health that you kind of see with the people that you worked with. What is the state of it right now, in your opinion? For Black people,
I feel like for Black people in this state of mental health is really, it's about the trauma. It's about the trauma of those 400 years and about the scars that those traumas have left. Now, some people mentally, we've developed the scars because we're healing, but some still have those wounds still open.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't deal with a wound and it's still open, you have, you risk the infection and you risk even worse disease and you see it. And you see it where we're not able to get a hold of things that are helping to heal us mentally because we still have those wounds being attacked and we still are choosing at times not to have those wounds being repaired. And then sometimes the medicine, it just isn't there for us to have. And I mean that by saying, yes, we suffered a serious trauma on a continual basis in this country. And if we are not aware of the ways that we can heal from that trauma, we are going to continue. And I think the stigma of the trauma of what we've been through is starting to fade and people are looking more towards healing. But at the same time, there's still a lot of Black folks out there today who are not even trying to heal.
Mm-hmm.
They're just still trying to maintain within this country. Mm-hmm. And they're also trying to maintain that wounded mindset, that trauma-focused mindset. And without the proper healing, they're going to stay in trauma mode.
Right.
If a person has trauma and they're not dealing with it, they're always going to be hyper-anxious. They're always going to be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to stay angry and not know how to deal with the emotions that they come up with, that
exactly.
come up.
Exactly.
And they're only going to be dealing with the symptoms, not the underlying problems of the trauma. So if someone's always angry, if someone has all these outbreaks
mm-hmm.
of emotion, outbursts, they're not dealing with the trauma of it. They're just going with the symptoms. And a lot of times you see people deal with the symptoms with drugs, with alcohol, effects, with
mm-hmm.
TV, just numbing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just numbing themselves. And as we were talking about earlier, these healing processes, you got to go through it first. You know, Reiki, you going through the process of healing yourself so that trauma's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And yoga,
mm-hmm.
you going through those processes of releasing the trauma from your body and spending that time with yourself, spending that time with that trauma that you endured to get through it.
Mm.
You got to experience it to get through it. You got to be able to understand that you had some trauma and to get through it and not hold on to, okay, I'm scarred or I'm damaged, I'm bruised, I'm beaten, and so this is just who I am. Like, no, you've experienced a wound, but that wound isn't you. That wound is something
right.
on you.
And that's exactly what she said.
You gotta understand that first.
Right. That's exactly what she said, and I'm glad you said that. It's like, you know, you have been hurt, you know, let it
right.
let it out, and you know, people will say, well, I'm not mad anymore. I'm not an angry black woman. You have good right to be
right.
an angry black woman. You have the right to be one because of what you've gone through. So
right.
it's not, you know, it's never, you should never try to hide that. You should never, you know, you have the right to be angry at white people. I'm angry at white people. I'm sorry I am. And, you know, I'm not sorry. I shouldn't be sorry that I am because they have hurt us. And now I have to accept that and start to heal myself from that. So, you know, anyway.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Like, if you don't acknowledge it first,
mm-hmm.
that anger is going to come out in self-sabotaging,
mm-hmm.
self-defeating ways. So if you don't acknowledge that anger is not towards you, it's hard to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to do anything healing and anything in love for yourself if you still have this angry part that you don't acknowledge or try to suppress.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of suppression, and I understand as far as the suppression part of a lot of, we had to train ourselves to be suppressed and depress our emotions because we didn't have outlets for them that weren't dangerous, where we couldn't freak out and say, hey, I don't like this white person or I don't like this
mm-hmm.
situation, because it could have been dangerous. But now we have those abilities to speak out and to speak out for ourselves, to speak out and say, hey, this is how I feel, this is what I'm going through,
mm-hmm.
I need some help. I went to a conference earlier today, and it was about African-American men talking about their prostate cancer. I know you talked about that earlier. Talking about their prostate cancer, because it's so many of us dying from it, and instead of just keeping it a secret and not going to get tested, a lot of men are stepping up and saying, hey, I want to prevent this. And I think the shift is coming in our mental health as well, too, where a lot of us are saying, stepping up and saying, hey, I'm angry. How can I release this anger? How can I move past it?
Mm-hmm.
How can I grow? But you got to step up and choose that for yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's go into yoga, okay? Talk to us and give us some tips on how to best, give us some best practices for starting out with yoga. There's so many people who probably want to start or have started and stopped. So, you know, give us some tips about how to get into yoga and try to, you know, give us some specifics on different illnesses that yoga can help us to heal ourselves from as well.
Okay. So the best way to start with yoga is right where you are, exactly where you and your body is. And you don't have to pop on a DVD or you don't have to go to a studio or community class right off the bat. I would say sit there right where you are and just start to notice your body. So start to move around and notice that little stiffness in your lower back, or notice that your legs don't stretch out as far as they do. Just really
mm-hmm.
pay attention to your body and start to notice the parts that move and the parts that don't move. and really spend some time checking in with your body.
Mm-hmm.
So before you start worrying about the COVID, trying to get your leg over your head or stand on your neck or anything like that, really listen to your body and see where it tells you. Because a lot of people want to jump right into what it looks like and skip what it feels like.
Mm.
Yoga is all about the feeling that you have when your body speaks to you and sensations. You listen to your body when your stomach hurts. You listen to your body when your head hurts and stuff. But it's about listening to your body on those subtle levels when it's telling you, okay, I'm uncomfortable and my blood isn't flowing correctly to my legs, or I'm not getting enough water in my system for my circulation, or my heart isn't pumping as much as it could be. So it really helps out with those diseases as far as circulation in the blood and going through the muscles, and also the respiratory diseases. It helps clear things in the air passageway and clears the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, it really helps with arthritis and helps with bone diseases and diabetes. It also helps because you're exercising and you're moving. And for me, yoga changes my diet because I don't want to eat like crap if I'm spending time involved with my body. It just doesn't work. You start to feel that hamburger or even that big loaf of bread you got from Subway don't really connect with your body how it really needs to be. So I say, you know, before you buy anything or go anywhere external, take the time to feel your body right where you are. Even if you stand it, you can stand and start to notice that your left hip make you a little bit less balanced than the right hip. Just start to feel, and so many diseases can be attributed to lack of movement in general and lack of a healthy diet. So yoga is going to get you moving, and yoga is going to help flush the system. A lot of the twisting moves help the digestive system and the internal organs.
Mm-hmm.
And yoga, there's so many powerful benefits to it, and it's simple. You don't have to do anything crazy. Simple movements can take you a long way.
So have you, for black folks, have you seen an increase in yoga? And I know you have a class that you do on Saturdays, and I think you have other classes as well. Have you seen it grow where your yoga practice, either for your own personal classes or for other classes or just in general, for us as people from African descent, have you seen it gain in popularity? And why do you think that is, if that's true?
Yes, yoga has definitely gained in popularity. And I feel like it is true because of what we said earlier, talking about how it's been put as a consumer product or a fitness routine more so than anything, and which I have no problem with it being labeled a fitness thing because it still gives people exposure to it. It gives people access to it. But for me, it's a lifestyle. It's more than just maintaining my physical. It's maintaining everything. But yeah, yoga is everywhere. You can buy yoga pants, yoga blocks, 99-cent store to Walmart, to everything. So it's the exposure to it, and basically the yogis who have been doing it for a while, most, like you said before, the white female yogis, that's the lifestyle that they choose to live, and now they have to make some money off it. So they put more products out there about yoga. They need more people to come to their teacher training, and of course, they reach out to large consumers, black folks, to get into, hey, we can let you guys in now. And you can start buying all the yoga mats, and you can buy all the cool yoga jewelry and all the stuff that we know y'all want to buy. And it's really getting people into more yoga DVDs, more yoga everything.
Right.
And it's being very much commoditized. And with that, also people being exposed to how yoga can transform your life. So I feel like black folks, we finally have the access to it, and we're invited to it. The studios aren't just in Santa Monica anymore. They're not just in Beverly Hills. They're being placed all over because a lot of the old yoga people, like, hey, this is the lifestyle we want to make for ourselves, and we're going to have to reach out to a broader customer base, broader market. And, hey, we've been part of that market But I mean, it's one of those things that they may have given us something that can really help us to uplift ourselves. It can. And then really take it to another level on a whole nother plane. So that's why I'm hoping it will be able to take it to the black community. We take it and we run with it and we use it as a healing agent and not just as another product that we buying from America. So, yeah.
So do you feel like people are waking? I feel like there is an awakening going on. And so do you feel like yoga has a role, has been playing a role in that? Because I see, as an herbalist, I see it a lot where a lot of people are going to herbs because they feel like that is natural. And they're not doing it because it's sexy. A little bit comes from sexiness, but they're not doing it because it's sexy. They want to know about, you know, what's the natural way, what's, you know, the safest way. They're doing it for different reasons. I feel like they're going to herbs versus, you know, over-the-counter drugs or whatnot. So do you feel like yoga is that way, or do you feel like it's still kind of a sexy thing where people are going to it because of that reason? And we're talking about black folks. And I'm asking that just because, you know, some people are still kind of apprehensive about doing yoga because they don't see it as something that black folks do. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I go back to this conference that I was at today where it was a room of black men talking about erectile dysfunction, talking about prostate cancer, and talking about a bunch of things that have been taboo to us for a long time. Mm-hmm. But they also were talking about, oh, well, my friend had to get radiation on his stomach and on his pancreas, and my other friend is, you know, penis didn't work and stuff like that. So that's not sexy at all.
Right.
It's about, hey, we seeing our friends die around us, and as black folks in the community, we seeing how diabetes is affecting the children. We seeing that they keep bringing in poor products for our health. We keep seeing that, you know, grandma got to take 100 pills a day, and people's legs are getting cut off, and obesity is so high. We see it. And yoga is a definite way of attacking the issues that are going on in our community. And like I said, it's a part of the access where you don't have to buy anything to get started. You can start where you are. Just like that's one of the reasons that cricket isn't big, or one of those sports where you have to buy a lot of equipment or have a lot of land isn't big in black communities. And golf isn't big in black communities because you have to have a golf cart and all this. Mm-hmm. And yoga is something that's free and you can have it in black communities. So it's picking up and it's becoming more of an accessible thing. There are still an old guard of people who even ask me, oh, so you do yoga, but do you believe in Jesus? And do you know about God?
That's so funny.
Like, yeah, that's like.
So, sorry, I meant to say that if you have a question or a comment, we have our chat room open right now, and I see some people getting here and communicating. So the chat room is open. Sorry to cut you off. And then we also have our phone lines open as well. So if you want to call in or if you have a question or comment to ask James, 712-775-7031 and then access code 840981. So you can jump on here as well and join the conversation. But it's so funny that you mentioned that because Monica in the chat room just said that. She was like, I've heard that many avoid yoga due to religion. I have never heard that.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Right.
Wow.
people tie yoga strictly to the Hindu religion.
Right.
And yoga, and even tie it to the Kemetic religion. The Kemetic yoga is tied to Kemetic Africa. But it's like saying meditation is not tied to any religion. Meditation is the process of you. Meditation can even just be tied to science and you slowing down your breath and you slowing down your brain waves. But when people tie it to religion, they put that stigma on it and they want to stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're cutting out all the benefits. That's like just saying tying drinking wine to Christianity.
Mm.
It's not just a part of that. So it's, a lot of people just have a misunderstanding of it, and as we, the younger generation, have access to information, and we are able to get the information, those stigmas are fading away, because most of the people who ask me those questions are older, and they don't give themselves access to the information about these new things that are able to help us. I had no idea what Reiki was. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what a lot of these things was. Mm-hmm. But as I got a chance to be exposed to them, it was a new understanding and a new growth within it. And I feel like there's so many things, so much information being brought out as a backlash to the severity of Western medicine, mm-hmm, of surgery and cutting things out, radiating things, mm-hmm, synthetic medicine. So it's really just a rubber band effect where everyone's snapping back to more holistic, right, more self-centered and self-loving practices of healing.
Right, definitely true. Yes. Moni says, downward facing dog is not godly. Too far.
Right.
Oh, gosh. Right. That's just so crazy. But you're right. Yeah, we got to just stop thinking like that, you know, thinking like that. You can have your own beliefs about things, but when it comes to your health and comes to your self-care and you being responsible for yourself, you know, movement is something that we all do. Breathing is something that we all do, no matter what religion you're in. So if you think about it that way, that's what yoga is. And, you know, it's not about anything more than that. So, but it is. It's a spiritual practice as well. But it's not, you know, like you said, it's not connected. It's not tied so deeply. But talk a little bit about comedic yoga, because I know people that are on one side where they're like, nope, yoga is not for me. That's for white people and skinny white people with no butts. And then there's the other side of people, this other side that is like, I only do comedic yoga because that's the African yoga and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not doing any other type of yoga. So talk a little bit about comedic yoga. If you have an opinion about it, or, you know, can you just explain a little bit about what that is?
Right. I love comedic yoga. Mm-hmm. I practice some comedic yoga and I love it. And it brings me to a different aspect of my spiritual growth that I don't get from my other practice of yoga. So I feel like comedic yoga is a part of yoga. Yes, it is, mm-hmm, African. I feel like yoga today stems from comedic yoga. In the principles, in the postures, yes, it stems from comedic yoga. Indian yoga was derived from comedic yoga, I definitely feel. And so yoga went through many phases and many steps, and it's documented how it's basically like, if you look at the NBA, they weren't dunking in the first games of the NBA. They weren't doing these elaborate layups and behind the back and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it still was a process of running up and down the court, scoring buckets, feeling good, playing basketball. So comedic yoga, to me, was the original part of it, where they had a set of poses and a set of beliefs that connect them to their higher power. Mm-hmm. And I feel like modern yoga is still, if someone's practicing modern yoga for the practice of a holistic mind, body, and spirit experience to connect to their higher power, it's the same thing, but there's a lot more dunks and a lot more fancy layups and behind-the-back passes and shit, if you know what I mean. Because comedic yoga it's set, but then yoga went through a phase altogether where it was all about the contortions and the acrobats and all the fancy stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it was at one part where it was just about sitting there and meditating. Mm-hmm. And then they came to a point where it was, okay, we're going to sit here and meditate, but we're going to stretch a little bit so we can sit here and meditate a little bit longer. So yoga, comedic yoga, is a part of the whole phase of yoga. And to me, it's the beginning part of the whole yoga. People using their bodies to connect with their higher self, mm-hmm, through stretching, through posings, and through the visual aspect of visualizing their bodies as a spiritual tool. And that just ran off with all the new forms of yoga. And yoga is still growing. They have all kinds of different yoga flows, soul flow, and yoga dance, and yoga in the dark, yoga on the surfboard, and yoga in the parking lot, and yoga. It's all kinds of stuff. It's still going. Mm-hmm. And as people here on this earth, people are always going to take something and run with it.
Yeah.
So they took comedic yoga and they ran with it and they created a whole bunch of stuff. But I believe that comedic yoga is the original yoga. It started in Egypt. It started in Africa. Mm-hmm. And it was brought over to India. And all the other forms of yoga derived from it. Mm-hmm. Well, I love comedic yoga.
Right. I'm glad you cleared that up for us. And yeah, because with comedic yoga, it seems like it has gained popularity, but since it is the original, you would think that would be where the people, and I keep going back to this, and I'm, you know, sorry I'm doing this, but the elite white people that are promoting yoga so much, you would think that they would be saying a lot, and they never talk about comedic yoga. They'll talk about yoga from India all day, and like Kundalini yoga.
Right.
Kundalini yoga, they'll bring that up definitely, but never comedic yoga. And so that's just interesting to me. And it's good that we know that is the original, and we can practice the original. We know what it's like. We know there are people out there who are practicing it, and that we can take on that that practice. That's really comforting. Mm-hmm.
That's like white folks talking about the songs that slaves sung as the beginning of modern music. You know, they're not going to acknowledge that.
Right.
The music that slaves were singing helped influence Katy Perry today.
Oh yeah, they're trying to forget that. trying to push that to the side. Yep, always, because
they're going to pick and take what they're going to pick and take. So it's a part of the process, and that even goes back to our healing mentally, where the white part of it can say, "Oh yeah, this is the part that they accept, and this is the part that they want," and that can make us mad. That can make us angry. Mm-hmm. And us acknowledging that anger, so we can have a clear understanding that, okay, that's what they believe and that's what they want to accept and go through. But then this is what I know and this is what I go through. And it's a part of healing instead of just staying stuck in that one aspect of and not using these tools to heal from. So it's always there.
Right. Yeah, it definitely. And that's exactly kind of what the woman I was talking about earlier was saying in her lecture, was they can't really go to certain things. They can only pick and choose, like you said, because if they were to go to the original this and original that, they would have to bring out so much pain and hurt that they have put on to other people, indigenous people, as well as us. You know, all that stuff will start to come out versus, you know, just picking and choosing what they want to come out.
Definitely.
So it has to be that way. Definitely has to be that way.
That's a whole nother conversation right there.
Right. I was trying to pull up a blog post that I did about Kundalini yoga because I did a class, and I was trying to pull that up and read that right quick for us. But I wanted to talk to you, you know, do you know a little bit about Kundalini yoga? Can you tell us about the different types of yoga, and what do you practice, or do you practice a general yoga type, and what do you recommend as well for people out there for, you know, different body sizes and shapes, or do you have any recommendations on how to choose the right yoga for yourself?
Okay. So Kundalini yoga helped get me through a real dark time in my life. And I didn't even know it. Somebody told me, hey, go to a yoga class, and I started doing. So the yoga that we mostly see is Hatha yoga, and that's the yoga where we either Hatha yoga or again, so our flow of yoga that we get into, where we do the upward dog, downward dog, and the Hatha yoga is where we have our stationary poses, and we go throughout the poses. But Kundalini yoga, you don't do as much of the moving. The postures and poses are a lot different. It's more focused on that energy. It's more focused on the chakra system.
Okay.
And the same system that you have seen in the comedic yoga principles, where you focus on elevating your energy through your chakra system. And I say it helped really get me through a dark time, because I was going to class. I don't know what I was doing. It was still weird. It was saying things I never heard, doing body movements I never heard, but I kept going back, and I looked at it, and I was like, wow, I got through that hard time in my life, and it helped me shift some things going on inside. But I would say for someone starting out who really is looking into it for the physical benefit, hatha yoga is the yoga that I practice. And you go through the different poses and you focus on the breath. The breath is a connecting element with yoga. Even in the vinyasa flow aspect of it, when you go on from pose to pose, you upward dog, downward dog, and all that, every pose is matched with the breath. And the breath is what connects your mind, what brings you present, so you are focused right there in that moment. You're not thinking about your bills. You're not thinking about what you need to do or what you need to eat. You focus on that pose and how your body feels in it. And when you're connecting the mind and the body, in that presence, for me, it's a spiritual experience where I'm able to be there. I'm not all in my mind and stressed out. I'm there, and my spirit is able to connect. So if you just start out breathing and moving, you're doing some yoga. But if you go to a class and say vinyasa, that's where you're going to be flowing, going up and down and moving in and out, and you're going to build up a lot more heat, probably a lot more sweat, and a lot more fluidity in your body. If you want to take it there, take it there. And yoga is always a practice that is at your own pace. So if the teacher telling you to do a whole bunch of crazy stuff, you can always come into child's pose, relaxing pose, and take some breaths and get back in it whenever you need to. There's always adjustments, and it always looks right for your body. So there's a lot of yoga for beginner yoga videos and stuff. There's a yogi online, Biola. I just met her. She does some beginner yoga stuff and a lot of videos.
Yeah.
And
yeah, she emailed me. Sorry. Go ahead. Yes, definitely.
Well, there's always a class for you.
Great. Wonderful. Well, thank you, James. Let's see. I'm going to go to the chat room now and see if we got some questions here. And if you want to call in and ask James a question or make a comment, you can at 712-775-7031, access code 840981. So let's see what we got here. Does James do Kemetic or Indian yoga? So, and why? So you kind of already answered that one. Let's see. Is yoga supposed to hurt?
No. Yoga is not supposed to hurt. You go to a point where you may feel some discomfort because you're doing something new or you're stretching a muscle that you haven't stretched before, but it's not supposed to hurt. When you feel that pain, and when you feel pain in your body, your breath is going to react. You're going to start breathing short. It's not going to be that long, fluid breath. You're going to lose the concentration. That's when you easily back out of it. And you stop.
Okay.
Stop doing it if it goes to the point of hurt. But if it's uncomfortable, if it's stretching because you haven't stretched in a long time, keep breathing and stay right at that limit. Stay right at that. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but I know I'm growing from it. It's helping me. But when it gets into that pain place, back off. Your body's not supposed to go there.
Okay. Great. Yeah, definitely want to calm your mind and clear your mind when you do yoga. We have about 5 minutes left. Let's see. So Moni is asking, yes, that's what I've been focusing on the breath and being in the moment. That's a true challenge, yes. What's the goal? To lose weight, clear your mind, to become more flexible? I think all of those, right?
Yeah.
Okay. To calm my mind, I'm triple tasking as a type. Go up. Okay. Oh, Bikram yoga. Bikram is what type of yoga?
So Bikram yoga is a system. Bikram yoga is a system of postures that is a sequence, a continuous sequence. So every Bikram yoga class is the same. It's 26 poses and it's 90-minute sessions and it's in a hot room, 90 degrees and up. And it's by a yogi. He's still alive. His name is Chaudhary Bikram. And he put together this sequence of poses. And it has a lot of benefits. So you're going to sweat like crazy because you're in this hot room.
Right.
And it helps you to focus on the breath. And it goes to that point of discomfort. It's very uncomfortable when you get in there first. It's musty. You bend in all different kind of places that you never bend your body before. But when you keep practicing and go through it, you are able to push past the discomfort and see how your body changes and your mind changes from it, too. And I heard you say a question earlier of the purpose of yoga is mental, physical, and to be able to stretch, you said, fitness and stretch.
being flexible.
So, yeah, you were reading the question earlier.
Right. I think it was losing weight, clearing your mind, and being more flexible. Those the goals different.
Right. So all those losing weight and being more flexible are like a symptom of yoga, a byproduct of yoga. For me, it really is clearing my mind to be able to connect with my higher self. And that's the principle of yoga, being able to connect with your higher self through a clear mind, stilling the mind. So when you get into the mental part of it, as we were saying before with mm-hmm. black folks, we got so much on our mind. We have so much trauma and so much going on in our communities and so much going on around us that it's hard to clear our mind and connect with our higher selves. So in this practice of yoga, in this practice, even if you practice in martial arts or if you practice in archery or whatever, mm-hmm. and you're able to steel your mind and connect with your higher power and let go of the anger, let go of the stress, let go of the anxiety, that is a practice of yoga. And the byproducts of it, yes, you're going to lose some weight because you're not going to want to eat the same thing, and you're moving the body, so you're going to shed pounds. Yes, you're going to gain flexibility because you are stretching those muscles that have not been stretched in a while. You're going to look better. You're going to feel better. Mm-hmm. You're going to think clear. And those are all byproducts of you connecting with your higher self through a practice that you develop for yourself. So it's all in there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. On that same topic of the heat yoga or Bikram, what is the best practice for that? Should you be drinking like a gallon of water? This is a question from the chat room. A lot of water before. Is there something that you can do to make sure that you are getting the best experience doing that practice?
Yes, drink water before and drink water during and drink water after, because you lose, you're going to lose some pounds in sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Just replenishing the body and the electrolytes and putting those fluids back in your body. And the more you practice, the more you'll figure exactly what your body needs.
Mm-hmm.
You may need a gallon, you may not need a gallon, but you'll understand what your body needs.
And that goes for any of the practices, right? You definitely want to bring a lot of water when, because you're going to be sweating and you're going to be detoxing a lot. And so go ahead and flush as much as you can with drinking a lot of water.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
What about...
Very important to mm-hmm. get those fluids back in there.
Definitely. Let's see, I'm all over the place at the moment. Oh, to calm my mind, I'm triple tasking. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's something that people do deal with. You know, they're trying so many different things. And, you know, one thing that we've talked about on the different show when we had Sister Katina on was making it simple. We talked about meditation. Just having a simple time, 2 minutes, 5 minutes of just sitting and clearing your mind. And I think that's a similar, like you were saying before with yoga, you don't have to have a DVD player. You don't have to have, the best outfit on or whatever, the yoga pants. Just do something, get up and stretch, get up, bend, get up, stretch your legs. You know, you start to just move. And that is, would you consider that yoga as well? I mean, it is. You know, it doesn't have to be a perfect movement every time. And so making things simpler for yourself will, it'll help you it'll make you feel better. Then you can increase and make it more and more of a serious practice for yourself. I think, would you consider that a good tip for people? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Definitely. You went out a little bit on the end, but I think you were saying what I said. If you're starting out with yoga, don't start out with Instagram. Don't start out with Facebook. Because it's like everything else. People put their best thing on there, and they're not showing you the million times that they couldn't get the pose or they fell or
right, exactly.
whatever. They're just showing you after 1,000 takes that they can stand on their head.
Yeah.
So just start with yourself and just really see how your body feels. Because, yes, yoga is a Sanskrit word meaning yoke, unity, unite, whatever. It's about uniting the mind with the body and creating that connection for that spiritual experience. And a lot of the times, especially in this world, like you said, when we're multitasking, we're not aware of what our body's doing and our mind is doing. How many times have you driven a place and then you get there and you can't even remember the drive because you weren't present at all, but your body was there. So it's really just taking that time to be in your body and be present with yourself. And connect. Mm-hmm. And however you do that is perfect.
Right. Yep. That is so perfect. Yep. Just being yourself. Great. All right. So let's talk about you and your website and your business. Tell us a little bit about some how people can contact you and some of the things you've got going on now.
Okay. So you can contact me at www.datyogadude.com. That is DATYOGADUDE.com. And I'm very excited for this upcoming summer. We are kicking off the first annual Million Man Meditation.
Oh,
it's going
awesome.
On June 18th. Yes, and June 18th is National Men's Health Day.
Okay.
Million Man Meditation is all about holistic wellness and preventative care by living a lifestyle of wellness. So we're going to have all male, all black presenters and demonstrators all about health and wellness.
Wow.
I'm going to be teaching some yoga. We have a special guest keynote speaker. His name is Keith Mitchell. He was a NFL player. And now he's a yogi.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I heard about him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be at the event. And we're going to have some martial arts, some meditators. We're going to have some food demos, some herbalists, some naturalists, all black males. We're targeting black males because we understand the power that mm-hmm. is in us to continue to build our community. And of course, we know black women are going to bring black men, so the whole community is invited, but there's going to be all black male presenters talking about these issues that we're talking about now. Black yogis, the black Reiki, the black males doing these things, because we want to create a space for it. We want to get rid of the taboo that yoga is just for Cindy Lou with the tight pants on, because yoga is for us as well.
Exactly.
And the biggest thing about what we're doing with this is the follow-up. So if you are a yogi or a Reiki, or if you're a healer in any aspect, please send us your Instagram handle, your Facebook, your Twitter handle, because we want people to connect with you. We want people to see people of color who are doing the healing work. So if you send us your the title, we can follow up with you, because we love the Million Man March. We love what it represented and the power that it showed that we have. But we want to make sure that there's a follow-up with it. It's not just a one-time thing. People can go to your YouTube channel. People can go to your website. They're definitely going to be coming to you, Jennifer, and figuring out how they can continue this life of wellness.
Yes.
And after that, we are having our Smile Across America tour with Lanita Nash and Essential Juices, my brother Wayne, Alpha Presents. So we're going across the country, and we're bringing healing to the cities and the places that need it, doing yoga, providing some fresh juices, some motivation, some music, all about the lifestyle of health and wellness through healers. So let us know. We can come through a city near you and do some things.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so definitely we're going to be posting that. I'll post that to our Facebook, the contact information. Just send me the contact information for the Million Man Meditation. I am so excited about that. That is going to be amazing. I definitely want to be there for that and be a part of that continuing in the future as well. So definitely love to hear that. And big shout out to Lanita as well. I think she was listening earlier. Maybe she might have gotten off. But big shout out to Lanita and the event going on this summer. So excited about that as well. Can't wait to see y'all. And tell us a little bit about, just real quickly, any resources that you recommend or any books that you recommend you want to share and provide some additional information for everybody before we head out of here for this evening.
Yeah, this radio show is a huge resource, a huge, huge resource in the community, Herbal Intellect, and Jennifer and Marcus is such a huge resource in connecting us with the healers and through the Black Healers Guild. That's a great resource. Black Yoga Superstars, a great resource. They've been connecting me with a lot of other people and connecting a lot of black yogis. So check out Black Yoga Superstars and Viola. She's a new yogi that I met, and Lanita. She puts out a lot of great resources. So it's a lot of great resources that come through social media. So we can have that access to the healing that we can really follow up. So if you go on YouTube, put in some yoga and someone is going to pop up that's going to help you out with your yoga needs and your yoga services, and I'm going to be putting more resources. I always share resources through my social media and my network, That Yoga Dude and Facebook and Instagram and all that, all those handles, online stuff.
Right.
And, yeah, see what works for you and see what okay. works for you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, James. And everybody do please follow James on social media, Instagram and Facebook at Dat Yoga Dude, D-A-T Yoga Dude, James Woods. Thank you again. I really appreciate you getting on and sharing this information with everybody. We're going to head out of here for this episode of the Herbal Intellect Show. If anybody has any last-minute questions, let me go to the – I think we're we don't have anybody on the call that would need to get on. So we are good to go. Appreciate you, James, and it was so good to talk with you again. We'll be connecting more, and I hope you have an awesome evening. And thanks.
You too.
All right.
Y'all have a good one.
Talk to you soon. Peace. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. I hope you all have a great evening. Join me next week on the Herbal Intellect Show. Ask an herbalist. Bring your questions so that we can discuss your health concerns. I appreciate y'all. Peace.
This a one it a the herbal affair. Come here, me darling, and listen me dear. Even if you're sitting in your old rocking chair, this time you a go listen me say lyrics you go hear. Now me a go get a early morning start. Some coconut water figure wash off me heart. Peppermint.